Episode 148 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded September 7th, 2017. Inoffensive title.
Inoffensive title.
So we struggled to find a thematic title.
We didn't all struggle, Grant. Ashley nailed it, but we can't. We just can't.
I'm a human monster.
Okay, well, maybe you listeners at home might be able to come up with your own title that ties in the TV shows Ballers, Norsemen, which is this show about Vikings over on Netflix.
It's a Viking spoof in a way.
Yes. And Atypical,
which is a very funny comedy that Grant hated, and we'll get to that.
Spoiler! Anyway.
I'm starting early, Grant.
We were looking for particular titles, and Ashley had a great one. And Randy decided, we can't go that blue.
I vetoed it. I'm a bad person. I'm sorry. Yeah. I denied you all joy, and I feel bad about it.
So it was the right call.
So we've gone with inoffensive title for this week. But yes, yeah, so those are the shows we're going to be talking about. Ballers, Norsemen, and Atypical. We are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Ashley.
You know what? Let's just get into it, guys.
Let's get into it.
Patreon.com. If you guys want to help support us, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. There you can make a per episode pledge. Give us a dollar or two. We're not asking too much. Think of it as $4, $8 a month, and that's only a charge to you guys if we post an episode. And in exchange, we appreciate you guys helping to support our show so much that we're giving you free bonus exclusive content. Yes. What that means is that we do podcasts primarily. Sometimes we'll do dramatic readings of offensive Seinfeld episodes.
Occasionally.
But usually we do a little mini podcast. It's about 30 minutes or so, talking about anything that doesn't fall under the general umbrella of TV, where that's our outlet for other discussions.
This week, I think we're talking about the future.
I listed up a bunch of topics there. We can pick and choose which one we want to do. But maybe something about the future.
The future.
Or maybe we'll just discuss the title we didn't go with for this episode. Patreon.com/TV Dudes. We appreciate all of your support. You guys can also go give us a 5-star rating, write a review on iTunes if you are so inclined. And we also want to pimp our podcast network, Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
This is a collective of TV-centric podcasts all under – I already said under the umbrella. I can't use that expression twice.
You can use the under the umbrella many times, just as you can speak about penguins as many times as you want to.
Oh, man. I shouldn't tell you anything off mic. Yes, under the umbrella of the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record Network.
All these shows are talking about TV, and you can check them all out at permanentrcrd.com.
We all like penguins.
All right. Let's move past all of that, and let's just get into our listener questions.
Yay.
If you guys like us on Facebook, once a week, Randy puts up a little post where you guys can ask us anything you want or just make a general comment. You don't even always have to ask a question. But
you can even stalk Grant if you want to, but that's stop, which probably means he's traveling here right now.
Oh, no. My stalker, yeah, he didn't post this week.
That's because he's driving here right now.
Mike, what are you doing? All right, Zach McLernan has our first question. He says, Brienne is a misunderstood girl joining the high school fencing team, wanting to prove that girls can do anything in school dominated by male jocks. As she battles for respect among the elite high school fencing world and battling her rival, Ariette Dark, from rival Winterfawn High, she becomes the object of the affections of Jamie, a tall, handsome, blonde quarterback with a dark secret. Tormund, a rugged and sexy redhead exchange student who's more brawn than brains, and Sandy, a scarred and brooding youth whose fists speak for him. All the while, Brienne lusts after the dashing Renly, a stunning valedictorian whose true affection lie in unexpected places. What does the future hold for Brienne, and will she make it to the top of Westerfloss High? Now, on a serious note, would you watch this TV show, TV Dudes? What network would it be on, and what would you want as the arcs of the first season of Winterfloss High? Westerflo's high to be.
Okay, first of all, the network is CW, obviously.
It's got to be CW.
It's CW. Yeah.
It could be ABC, maybe. ABC Family. Yeah. What's that? What's the ABC Family called now?
Freeform?
Freeform, maybe.
It's going to turn to something. They're going to change that name like three more times and be Gobbledygook by the end of it.
Yeah.
Actually Gobbledygook, not like a made-up title. That would be the name of it. But it'll be the CW, which means I'll watch it because the CW has watchable TV shows about high school dramas. But I feel like he introduced some characters who don't belong here, like Ariette Dark. Isn't that a new – like, don't introduce original characters. I want all Game of Thrones characters in your Westerflo's High.
I mean, it's Arya Stark under a different name, Ariette Dark.
All right. Ariette, I get it now. Okay.
She's from Winterfawn High.
I didn't get that one.
Yeah. Were you there the time that I tricked Randy by putting on one of those nose and mustaches disguise?
That was you?
It was me the whole time.
Oh, my God. I gave that guy my wallet.
Yeah.
You know what? Zach McLaren has even more added on to this. He says, some characters might be Peter Balick, the slimy principal.
Oh my God.
Sandra Stark, Brienne's best friend, who's also crushing on Renly. Ramsay Button, a sadistic archery team captain with an eye on Sandra. And Jeffrey, the sniveling and cowardly student council president who leads the bullies and often gets in Brienne's way.
Why?
I kind of love this whole
thing. I do too, but why Brienne at the center of the whole thing? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love it. But that's an interesting choice.
Brienne's the true heart.
You think Brienne is the star?
Who would you think would be the true heart of a Game of Thrones high school TV show?
It's a reasonable point. I guess I'm trying to. Marjorie Tyrell, I think, needs to be in there somewhere. Like, she should be the cheerleader squad girl who's actually seems like the popular girl, but she's actually Brienne's friend and helps her out.
And Olenna Tyrell.
Olenna Tyrell is her badass mom who gives them all pot brownies when she goes to the house.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And we all know the dark secret that Jaime has, of course, is he's having sex with his sister, Cersei, who's the bitchy head cheerleader.
I mean, it's kind of like Riverdale.
Yeah.
Would there be murders? Would this be more like Riverdale or 13 Reasons Why?
You want actual murders? Like,
13 Reasons Why is a little bit too too real.
Ugh. No, this is much more like Riverdale. I don't know about actual murders. I think it's got to be the over-the-top teen drama of every social change is like killing someone.
Oh. I am so dead right now.
Yes, exactly. Like yes.
I would watch the shit out of this.
Yeah, for sure. This should happen.
I hope you at least write some more fanfic for
us. Yes, yep, so we can... tell us more of Westerflo's High.
Jonathan Haptemichael says, "Hi dudes, I'm finishing up the first season of The Good Place on Netflix and liking the show so far. Ooh, hasn't gotten to the end. The genuine personalities of characters and great comedic chemistry elevates what could have easily been Kristen Bell being a forking witch. The series, since my evil self." Jonathan Huffnagel revealed himself. Oh, we got a rivalry.
I love it.
I have a good question and bad question. Good question first. What feeling / state of being or activity would you want to taste in frozen yogurt form? Interesting. Bad question. What decor would be in your hypothetical torture house in the bad place?
See, now, I actually was trying to think of this. The second one is the part because – Kristen Bell's character has the clown house, and she hates clowns. And I'm thinking, what do I hate so much that that would be like the decoration in my torture house? And I can't think of anything I hate so much. But what I thought maybe was like full on giant portraits of Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Ann Coulter,
just everyone on the right wing of the political spectrum,
like as if they were up there, like it had their presidential portraits up there all around.
Just like one long hallway.
Yeah.
Of like portraits.
Yes. Just like really ornate and beautiful. Yeah. And you're like, ugh.
And when the doorbell rings, it says, "Make America Great Again." And people ring the doorbell all the fucking time.
Just knock. Just knock on the door.
Just knock on the door. When you knock on the door, it starts talking about a fucking wall.
So what would you have as your yogurt flavor?
This is sappy. First kiss. I want to know what a first kiss tastes like in yogurt form.
Aww.
Tastes like spit. First kiss tastes like spit.
I'm going to say inexperience. It tastes like inexperience.
Awkward. It tastes a little bit awkward. Did I do it right? I don't know. What about you, Ashley?
I really dislike houses that you don't have them as much anymore. But if you go to somebody's house that, you know, is still kind of like late 80s, early 90s, they have that beige thing going on and everything looks kind of grimy and dirty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I grew up in one of those houses.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst.
It was that. And then there was that lime green phase that nobody liked.
Yeah. And really deep carpeting. I don't like carpets in general. Because,
shag carpet?
Yeah, like a shag carpeting or even like a normal carpet, really. Just carpet in the bathroom. Those little like toilet covers that are also carpeted that they put over just carpet everywhere.
You know what?
All...
I thought only guys hated that.
No, they're disgusting.
Yeah, but they're also like impossible to pee with because the toilet tank doesn't stay up. It's like you flip it,
oh,
flips
yeah,
down.
There's pee all over that.
It's horrible.
That's just like, you can't, yeah.
So. I have a nice crusty one on my floor. Yeah. I didn't know that you guys were disgusted by it. We call it old crusty in my house.
You know,
is that gross?
Your crusty rug, I have a soft spot for. We're
okay,
friends.
Okay.
Yeah, but in general.
You're just calling me crusty. You're crusty.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, you're crusty. I was trying to think of what they get. Rug, that's the word for it. Yeah.
All right, what about yogurt?
Yogurt.
What yogurt?
I think
would be your jam?
I think I'm going to have to go with when you were about 10 and you got that, like, your parents would always give it to you last on Christmas, like your present that you were, like, really wanted. And they're like, oh, all the presents have been opened, guys. And you're like, it was a pretty great Christmas. And then they're like, hey, Ashley, what's upstairs? Or what's over there? Or whatever. And I'm like, holy shit.
It's always a Super Nintendo, right?
It is.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a new bike.
Okay. The decor for me would just have to be walls that are pimples.
Oh,
and they actually like pop every so often, and pictures of spiders probably, and maybe cockroaches.
I don't want to be in your torture house,
right? Yeah. I just feel like I would just always be like, oh,
yeah,
medical photos, like just like gross medical photos. I probably okay. What would my yogurt taste like though?
Wait, that's a different question.
I'm going to need you to say that into the microphone one more time. Mm,
that's the title for the episode.
What would my yogurt taste like?
What would my yogurt taste like? Actually, it would taste exactly like the decor of my torture house.
Oh, weird.
Okay. Yeah. It's I have a gross thing.
You're a complex man. Yeah. You're a complex man.
I waffle back and forth. I blue waffle back and forth. What? Hopefully you guys don't know what that is. Don't look it up, kids. All right, next up, Michael Cassini asks, really don't look it up, Ashley, you're not going to be happy. Michael Cassini asks, unlike most top comedies on TV right now, Veep, You're the Worst, It's Always Sunny, Rick and Morty, Atypical manages to be hilarious and poignant comedy while also having likable characters that you can actually root for.
I did not write this comment.
Ashley, I told you, do not look it up. Don't look it up. Anyway, we're talking about how great Atypical is.
We are.
Michael Lucini goes on to say, do you think cable comedies are concentrating too much on the horrible people behaving badly format? And don't show me. Oh, no. What are you showing me?
I want to share this moment with you, Grant. So I just Googled blue waffles. And I'm having to look at this. So I thought you'd want to look at it, too.
That's not blue waffles, though. That's like a different thing going on there.
It also showed up, though, so... there you go.
My eyes are forever unclean. Anyway, Mike Lugastini goes on to say, do you think cable comedies are concentrating too much on horrible people behaving badly format? And why is it so hard to make good comedy with nice people these days? Also, do you think Atypical is being severely undernoticed? It's one of my favorite new shows of the year, without a doubt my favorite comedy. Yet it's not getting anywhere near the amount of attention that Glow, 13 Reasons Why, or other new Netflix shows got this year.
Yeah, Grant, what do you think?
I feel like you guys are better suited to answer this question.
I do think it is interesting because, Atypical starts out as sort of about nice people, but I think every one of them is toxic in a way. Even the kid, the lead kid, they're all kind of shitty to other people in understandable and believable ways. But didn't you actually feel like by the end, like every one of them had damaged somebody else accidentally?
Yeah, I think so. I wonder a little bit if he's getting at the difference between, say, like Friends from College, though, and that style of comedy versus...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And it is it's I think it's easier when you're doing sort of edgy comedy to make your characters unlikable but funny. Because yeah. that's easier to laugh at. If you like your characters, you kind of don't want to laugh at them as much because you want them to do well.
Well, and sincerity's hard. It's hard yeah. to pull off like sincerity without coming across as sappy. Yeah. So if you want like to have like an intelligent comedy, it's easier to make the people sarcastic shitbags
yeah.
than it is to be like, you know, maybe just flawed like an Atypical, because you're totally yeah. right. So yeah. just like genuinely good people but flawed.
You want to laugh at people a lot of times. It's a lot easier to write than trying to make humorous situations and everyone's good people.
Yeah. And it is funny because, yeah, the people in You're the Worst are sometimes the worst, but I genuinely like all of them. Like, I really like – okay, maybe not Gretchen. Gretchen might be terrible. But I really like every other lead – like, I like all the other lead characters, and I feel like they've got – they're broken, but they're – some of them at least mean well somewhere inside them, you know?
I mean, I think – I can't name a character that I don't think is a good person and I'm not rooting for in Veep. They're all heroes.
Yeah, they are. Especially Jonah. Jonah's the best.
He's a slow fellow.
Yeah, he's so great. So tall, so dashing. It's fantastic.
He's great. He's got height going for him.
Yeah, he's also tall.
That's about it.
Yeah, and bigger than most people.
Yeah. Genuinely.
Yeah.
He's really tall.
He's tall.
Last question goes to Jonathan Huffnagel. What up, TV dudes? It is I, Jonathan Huffnagel.
Hello, Jonathan.
Second time caller, long time evil twin.
Yeah, that kind of thing you work at.
Having watched the mind-bending finale of Twin Peaks last Sunday, I find myself still trying to digest all that my eyes have seen. What did everything mean? Is this the end or will there be more to see? Will I ever be satisfied with what was shown to me? I do know that the last few minutes will now haunt my dreams.
I've never seen Twin Peaks, but I can say I feel exactly the way Jonathan Huffelmeyer does, having just Googled blue waffles. That's exactly how I feel. And I was sitting here this whole time trying to put it into words.
And there it is.
And Jonathan has done this for me. Yeah.
I hope that you butcher his last name every single time you say it.
Oh, Jonathan Huffelsnuffleupagus?
Yep. Every time. Anyway, this got me thinking, he says. There have been many famous twist endings and cliffhangers over the years in television. What are some of your favorites? He personally wants to give it was personally a bit too young to have watched what's TNG?
The Next Generation, Star Trek.
Oh my god, why don't I know this?
Yikes.
Hey, stay tuned, guys. I might be on a Star Trek podcast very soon. Under the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
Anyway.
Grant doesn't know Star Trek.
Jonathan,
what the fuck's a Klingon?
Jonathan says he was a bit too young to have watched The Next Generation back when the big famous Borg cliffhanger first aired. I don't even know
what
that
Grant,
means either.
The Borg are an alien race that are half cybernetic.
Okay.
I'll explain the cliffhanger.
Yeah, they're a collective. Yeah, and spoilers, guys, they get the captain.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big deal.
Yep.
I did, however, catch it in syndication reruns while watching it with my father. I also remember being duped by the Simpsons Treehouse Horror fake cliffhanger trailer after Homer wakes up with Mr. Burns' head on his shoulder. Yeah. I waited forever for that episode, and it never came.
You know, the Simpsons have been running a while. We'll probably get the answer to that cliffhanger at some point. We'll see the end of it.
I don't know. They're making weird choices these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Favorite cliffhangers, guys. What do you guys think?
Okay, first of all, I was watching that Borg cliffhanger when it was first coming on, and that was a motherfucker. That was so good because my friends and I did not believe what had happened, and then you had to wait for the next season. We're like, what are they going to do? This is crazy. And it was pretty spectacular. Along the same lines, Babylon 5 did some really good cliffhangers where there's the captain basically dives to seemingly his death while nuking the shadow planet in like season 3, and I was like, I don't know where they're going from here.
There's a show, maybe you guys have heard of it.
Terriers? Is it Terriers?
No, it's the one I mention every week.
Oh, is it The Wire?
The Leftovers?
No, it's the one I mention every week.
Oh, The Leftovers.
Lost!
I just said The Leftovers.
Oh, M-G. Lost had the best cliffhangers ever. When the hatch light goes on, all of a sudden, what the fuck?
And the payoff for that was so good.
I loved it. You know what? It was fucking bonkers, and I loved it, and they just embraced it, and I was on board for it. The best cliffhanger, though, was Jack Shepard at the end of season 3
we have to
saying,
go back.
We have to go back.
That's good.
dudes.
Yeah.
Everyone flipped their shit for that. That was amazing.
You're not wrong. Those were fantastic. They were great at cliffhangers.
Lost was so good. I'm gonna have to do a rewatch of Lost. Yeah. All right. You guys ready to take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break and get back with some news.
When we come back, Mr. Burns' head will be on my shoulder.
I knew this day would come.
Lay some news on me.
I will lay some news on you. I am not making up. I'm not making up news this week.
I will lay news on you.
Allow me to lay news like a Borg would.
That was very loving.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Again with the Borgs. No one knows what these are.
Everyone knows what the Borg is, but you, Grant.
Oh. Hey, stay tuned, folks. I'm going to be on a Star Trek podcast with Ashley coming up soon.
It's true.
You know what, Grant? You will be assimilated. You know what else? You don't know what that means.
I don't. I mean, I know what the word assimilate means, I guess.
Okay, so HBO's Veep will end with season 7. Let's start with that.
That seems like a good call.
I agree. It's been good. It's actually been pretty great throughout, and I'd rather they not lose the thread. I'd rather they go out strong.
It seems like they had the storyline advance where they've moved past being in the limelight of politics to kind of her waning years. And then there's like one last attempt in Hurrah. And I'm anticipating it will fail. But that'll be a good place to stop it.
You know, the interesting thing is I feel like last season, season 6, was just a proof of – we could still do this show without the presidency stuff. And they pulled that off very well. So this is we did it. Now let's do our farewell season. I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah, I want to see all these actors move on to their next projects.
The Jonah Ryan project, the solo feature of Jonah Ryan.
All of them and the Jonah Ryan project.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah Paulson has been cast to star in a Cuckoo's Nest prequel series at Netflix about Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo Nest.
So, okay, this is another blind spot of mine. I'll put this in the list with Star Trek.
Okay.
She was just like a mean nurse, right? Is that it? Or is she like crazy and sadistic or something? I don't know.
She's kind of crazy and sadistic, yeah. She represents the institution. And she represents the cruelty of the institution. And we're sort of meant to identify with the people in the asylum who are crazy, yes, but also their individuality is important to them. And she is basically to shut down individuality in the name of sanity reigning. So it's a weird idea to do a prequel.
Yeah, this is another Ryan Murphy project.
Yeah.
And his new muse, Sarah Paulson.
Yep.
Well, wherever he goes, she goes.
The thing is, I really like Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
I don't know that I needed a prequel to Once Upon a Time in the Cuckoo's Nest, which is what I call it.
Like, he seems to know how to make franchise series. Like, Feud, I imagine there's going to be another Feud coming up. He's got the American Crime Story, where we're going to get a new crime story each season. American Horror Story, he's got that template. What is his template? Am I assuming this is going to follow the pattern, or is this just a miniseries? I don't understand what's
going on. It's got to be a miniseries, yeah.
I mean, I guess it doesn't fall under the same umbrella. Damn it, I got to stop saying that.
Nope.
I imagine it's not falling under the same umbrella as all of the stuff that he does with FX, since this is now on Netflix.
Right.
Making a little bit of a jump. But also, hey, Netflix, another great get with Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. Man, they're eventually going to have everybody on their network.
Global domination, assimilate.
See, you're getting there. You're getting there.
Yeah, it's just like the birdies from Doctor Who.
Yeah, the birdies.
The birdie robots.
That's what they are, yeah. Yeah. Assimilate is what they say. Yep. You know that meme that's got like six different things all screwed up in it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what your sci-fi looks like in your head, doesn't it, Grant?
I don't know. Doctor Who sucked. Daleks? Daleks.
Daleks.
Yep. And the Cybermen are the Borgs then.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's gotcha. Correct. See, we're teaching you.
I'm getting
You're
there.
You're going to be so ready for the Star Trek podcast.
We're going to have to hit up a con just so you can show off your wealth of information in other settings.
Yeah, you know where your Vulcan ears?
Oh, man. They're gonna Spock me to death with a Vulcan thing. They're going to Vulcan my neck a bunch.
Yeah, that's how my uncle went. Oh, it's terrible, nerds. Yeah. Oh, that's that was your neck? That's not what I thought that fan gesture meant.
I thought you were doing the Spocker.
Yeah,
I thought it's like too, the yeah. Shocker.
But it's our sci-fi nerds.
Just going to finger me with that? Is that what they do these conventions?
Yeah,
actually, I've heard yes.
I believe it's the Spocker would be two in your pink, two in your stink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
More you know.
It's a shame this isn't a video podcast. Or is it?
Yeah, I think we're better off, guys.
LA Confidential series is in the works at CBS.
Oh.
Why? Why would you do that to LA Confidential?
LA Confidential. I mean, do we need a series on that?
Yes. A series of like James Ellroy's like dirty 50s LA.
I'm saying it to the wrong guy.
For sure. Yes. I want that.
That is what you always want.
But I don't want it at CBS.
Who would you want?
FX, HBO, Netflix, Amazon, AMC. Stars, AMC, everyone else, literally anyone else but CBS.
You can have A&E.
I'll take it. A&E, sure. Over CBS, for sure.
You're not going to watch it.
No.
But you like to know that it's being treated well.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not still dating LA Confidential, but I hope she's having a good time out there.
Exactly.
You know? Like, I hope she's on the right network.
Yeah. Oh, God. PlayStation Network. The follow-up to their smash hit Powers.
Oh, jeez.
Speaking of smash hits in the making, the Titans TV show is coming. This is the Teen Titans from DC Comics.
I didn't even know about this. There's a Titans show.
So there was a rumored one at TNT that got shut down, and now I think they're thinking this is going to be part of the streaming network that Warner Brothers is going to launch or something, because you know they're doing the Young Justice and all that kind of thing. But they're doing a live-action Titans show.
Okay.
They've cast their Dick Grayson. He's a young pretty boy, of course. And I think they've cast their Starfire, and she's black, so of course people freaked out.
Why?
Because people don't like black people being cast in anything, apparently. And also she's an orange alien, and they're like, how can she be black? And I'm like, she's orange.
Isn't there that other weird thing about like casting minorities in these superhero properties and then covering
changing
up
their
skin
color? Yes.
Makeup?
Yes.
That's kind of like, that's messed up.
Yep. I've honestly, and I knew they weren't going to do it, but I've honestly always felt like casting Nightwing or Dick Grayson as African-American would be a good choice. And I'm surprised. I think they should have gone that way. And then you don't have to paint him orange.
This is a good looking dude here.
He is. He's a little young. I think Dick Grayson
Nightwing?
As Nightwing should be older. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he looks like a good age. He's like 20, 25.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's dreamy.
Built. I think 30s for Nightwing, but maybe not.
I mean, how long does he have to be Baby Robin?
He's Robin for a while. Okay, you're probably right. He's probably in his 20s. He just looks young to me because I'm old.
Okay.
Is that what you wanted to hear, Grant?
I mean, stop the tape, guys. We're done with this episode. I got what I needed.
Anyway, sure. Why not? Let's see what happens.
It's not going to be good anyway.
No,
I don't think it matters who they cast.
There's pretty much no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, speaking of things that probably aren't going to be good, True Detective Season 3. It's happening. And so
you don't think it's going to be good?
Nick Pizzolatto is writing, sharing directing duties with Jeremy Saulnier. I don't know who that is.
Wait, he directed...
He directed Green Room.
Have you seen that?
No, I've never seen it.
Have you seen Green Room?
I haven't.
Both of you, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Watch the Green Room.
Okay.
It's a fucking good movie.
Well,
okay.
So Season 3 is going to have Mahershala Ali, who I really like. Do we know much about it yet?
Here's what we do know.
It's in the Ozarks.
Oh yeah. He's going to totally run into Marty Bird in the Ozarks.
Yeah, sure.
And he's going to be chasing him down. But what else is interesting is, isn't he? Yeah. He's, Pizzolatto.
Yeah.
Is working on this with David Milch.
One episode.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, he co-wrote one episode with David Milch.
Okay, but also, like, I wonder what else David Milch's role is in this. Is he, like, advising and helping shape some of the story?
Also, he's splitting directorial duties. So Pizzolatto, who hasn't quite mastered writing a TV show yet, is going to start directing a TV show. I would love for True Detective Season 3 to be good.
Man, I was rooting for this because I thought Milch was going to have a much heavier hand in it.
Maybe he does, but it doesn't sound like
because
it.
Because Milch is brilliant.
Yeah, sure.
And his dialogue is brilliant, and he's awesome. He loves cocaine.
Loves cocaine.
He's a huge fan of cocaine.
So much cocaine.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess that was my case for David Milch.
I would like True Detective Season 3 to be good, but I don't know, man. Season 2 was such a disappointment.
Cocaine break?
Cocaine break.
Cocaine wine break.
Cocaine wine!
I wanna be a baller, shot caller. I don't know what the next line is. Is it
20 inch rims on the Impala?
Yeah, okay. We're really good at that. I think I'm going to reintroduce
so
this.
White.
No. Keep it in.
No, I
keep
so
it in.
White.
Maybe I should start over with this.
Nope. Keep it in. That was perfect.
All right. Hey, guys. We're talking about Ballers over on HBO. Then we're going to follow that up with Norseman and Atypical on Netflix. But first up, Ballers just started. Is it second or third season?
Third season. Almost done with third season.
And
yeah.
Ashley's been a huge fan of this, I guess, since the beginning.
I really have.
Randy just binged through the whole thing.
I did. It's Ashley's fault.
I crossed my arms and decided not to watch anymore. Yep. So I'm just going to let you guys carry it away. What do you think?
Yeah.
So I thought that, first of all, before we get fully into Ballers.
Yes.
When Ashley got into this show, I was like,
yeah,
you need to watch Entourage because I assumed that Ballers was basically Entourage, but in sports instead of movies.
Yeah.
And so I was like, here are a couple episodes. You should watch some Entourage. And Ashley, as I seem to recall, you weren't crazy about it.
No, I think I got like metaphorically punchy.
It
like
was
it put
awesome.
Me in like a bad mood for like the whole day.
I think the world needs to hear your opinion on Entourage. Which is, by the way, the world's opinion of Entourage now, because when the movie came out, nobody fucking wanted that.
Yeah, we had already moved on. We did a lot of growing between like 2005 and 2017.
Yes, we all learned very important lessons, one of those which is don't watch Entourage.
Yeah, and I think that this is something that Ballers has kind of been a victim of, because when I mention it, like especially to like you know my girlfriends, they're like, Ballers is really great, and also there's The Rock in it. They're always just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And I think that Entourage so ruined the idea of kind of like a fun, there's some naked people, there's some dick jokes, there's some weed.
Macho like, comedy.
Yeah, macho comedy that like we assume that it's just going to be roofing ladies and well into season four.
So what do you think the big difference is? Is it because they're grown-ups? Does that make a big difference?
Well, I think there's a few things. So I did attempt to watch on your request, I attempted to watch an episode of Entourage.
And I'm both sorry for that and so happy.
So I made it, I believe, 9 minutes and about 20 seconds into Entourage before I had to pull the plug. So a gentleman who looked about 17 with a backwards baseball cap in a fine dining restaurant.
Yep.
This is when it opens. Sexually harasses two women that are clearly supermodels. And then when they turn around to engage with him, he makes comments about their, quote, tits, which I can only assume is a word that he recently learned in the back of the bus. And then for some reason, they still want to go to his party. And when they ask why they can't go, this gentleman who is not generically attractive tells them it's because they're not pretty enough. First 5 minutes. So I think that's one of the problems that Ballers has. I contrast that with Rob Coldry, who's so funny.
Yeah.
And The Rock, who is super endearing and yeah. super attractive.
But Rob Corddry is I mean, he's a shitty person throughout this
He is
show.
A shitty person kind of yeah. throughout it. And, yeah. you know, it's funny because it's not that Ballers isn't objectifying
people. Oh, 100%.
And it's, 100%
it
does.
It is not what you call a feminist show.
No, it isn't. But it also objectifies the guys. And then occasionally will, like, get serious. Like, yeah. well into season three really kind of ends with an exploration of, like, head injuries in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, they're going there. Yeah.
And maybe after the first 10 minutes, Entourage does the same thing, but it's not fun, whereas Ballers is fun. It's a naked party with a bunch of hot people, and they smoke weed, and they play in the NFL, and they drive fast cars.
That's
I mean, if
true.
You like Fast and the Furious, then you're going to like Ballers.
And I do like Fast and the
because
Furious.
Because it's awesome, yes. and you're not an asshole.
The thing that I really that really sold me on this is when I realized Richard Schiff was in it,
yeah.
playing the generic, crusty asshole Richard Schiff role, which is
yeah.
great.
He nails it.
And I also love the character that you mentioned, Who's his assistant? Is it Virginia? No.
Yeah, Virginia is his assistant.
I want an assistant Virginia.
Oh my God, she's amazing. And this is kind of what I mean when, like, it is objectifying, but it's also just so kind of fun and silly.
Yeah.
Because The Rock, Spencer on the show, is having a rough day.
Yeah.
He's going to go in. He's going to get chewed out by his boss. Like, he's lost some clients. It's, like, bad news.
Yep.
And he walks in, and in about... over the course of about 30 seconds, she gives him a rundown of the entire day,
uh-huh.
fixes his tie, and then as he's like going by, he goes, oh, and by the way, boo, you're fine as hell.
Yep.
I
love that every time he calls her, she calls him boo-boo.
Yeah.
I need an assistant Virginia in my life.
I really feel like
I feel like that's a thing we all need. I do have my gripes. I think
yeah.
that anytime there's a Jay story, he's the agent, like a Jason
yeah.
story, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I think I may have said that to the screen a few times. Like, I don't give a fuck what Jason is up to. I don't care.
Yeah.
I know you need to have an agent character, but he's so boring.
Yeah, he's really kind of like a vanilla character. So in the show, if you haven't seen it, The Rock is an ex-football player, and he's trying to go into money management to kind of help these, like, young guys who are just, like, suddenly in, like, millions of dollars
yeah.
not make the same mistakes that he and a lot of his friends made,
yeah.
and at the same time get some money because he lost all of his money
yeah.
on some bad financial decisions.
Yep.
One of his best friends is Jason, who's an agent for players in the NFL. And, yeah, he's really he just moves the story along.
Yeah.
Like, anytime he shows up, it's like the narrator is there.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's
yeah.
Exactly. He's the Greek chorus.
Yeah, exactly. He really
the
is.
The one-man Greek chorus.
Yeah. And did you know whether or not, like, you should be happy or sad based on the mask he's wearing?
Yeah. The
yeah.
other thing that I about Ballers that is both good and bad that reminds me of Entourage is that there was never a problem in Entourage that wasn't going to be solved. Like, there was never a thing. There was no development that was not going to end with them rich and happy and in a better place. Like, there is no suspense to me that, like, Spencer's going to lose his money or lose his job or somehow the agency. They always want us to make it believe that, oh, they're going to sell the agency. Oh, they're going to get fired. Oh, they're going to break on their own. No. They're going to get richer. They're going to get more stuff. They're going to get more people. That's the arc, and you just got to be okay with that.
So I totally agree. With the exception of some of the side characters,
yeah.
I do think there's consequence for the side characters. So, like, Rob Corddry's character, Joe, and
yeah.
Dwayne Johnson's character, Spencer,
yeah.
they're golden.
Yeah.
But in particular, I think about Ricky, who is one of the main – who is, like, a main side character.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not a main character, but he's super important. He's – I think he's a – is he a running back?
He is. Yeah, yeah.
He's,
and he's
a really talented running back with a bit of a
and he's,
torrid
he's
past.
He's definitely, like, the third lead of the show. He's
yeah.
John David Washington, I believe – is he the one who's – Denzel Washington's son?
He is.
And he's fantastic.
And he's fine as hell.
I love Ricky Jarrett.
Yes.
However, I will say, every season he has failed upward into a bigger career.
He has, although season three, not too, maybe a little spoiler, but season three, we start to realize that some of the issues he's been having might
yeah.
actually be physical brain injuries.
That's true.
And so season three kind of ends with, like, opening up this dialogue.
But it hasn't ended yet.
It hasn't ended. That's right. We're getting close
so
to the end, but it hasn't
ended
yet.
Here's what I'm going to say. Season four, he's going to be playing for somebody. He's be fine. I know that's where that's going.
Or maybe season four, he's one of those heads, like, in Futurama.
Yes.
But they've put him on a body that can still, like, go to the pool parties
and
bang models.
They need to put him on one of the new players' bodies. And then they could, like, bring in that they bring those characters in. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess also, and so since I only made it 9 minutes and about 20 seconds in Entourage, this is a question you'll have to answer. before I got too punchy and had to turn it off. I don't know if those characters ever become a little rounder, start to deal with some of their insecurities. But the other sort of strange sort of side story in Ballers is that The Rock has some potential fertility issues.
That's a weird one.
It's like, really strange.
I credit him with being willing to play it because most dudes would turn that job down.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't even want that out there.
Well, and there's even this scene where he has this kind of ongoing on and off again relationship with this like smoking hot, like running the Vegas hotel's manager lady of some kind. She's like an important businesswoman of some kind.
Because he broke up with his smoking hot reporter girlfriend, so there was a smoking hot replacement girlfriend waiting for him.
And she's kind of got a sassy mouth. I like her.
I love her too.
And they're like gonna go like bang like usual, and he can't because he's like distracted by his penis issues, which I thought was strange. Interesting choice, Ballers.
I thought that was strange. The other thing I'll say, they don't generally do great by the female characters in the show. There's not a lot of really strong female characters. But Charles Green's wife
is fabulous.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love – and I like Charles Green as a fun character, but she's my favorite – she's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. So he is – I forget, is he a defensive line coach?
He is – he was a offensive lineman. And then he's moved into the front office with Dulé Hill, who's also great in this show.
Yeah, his character is fabulous. Yeah. And yeah, she's a doctor, and she does a lot of work with trying to kind of like she's like a diplomat kind of on the show, always trying to like get people together and solve kind of his problems with it for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a really good character. And also The Rock's doctor is actually a pretty good character.
Yeah, I like her too.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about how Steve Guttenberg doesn't seem to age?
Sweet.
That dude looks pretty good for his age. He's playing like a Vegas casino magnate here.
Well, you remember who made Steve Guttenberg a star?
No, I do not.
We did. I'm sure they've got something for the aging process as well.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
That stone cutters.
Yeah. Stonecutter mortality. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. They can give you a pair of rollerblades. You can skate to work, too.
That's the big secret of Ballers and nobody knows about it.
It's all about the stone cutters is behind it. That's the difference between Entourage and Ballers.
Yeah. That's what it is. The stonecutter influence.
Hey, guys. I'm back.
I wish you guys could see we really need a video podcast so you can see the look that Grant was giving us as we wrap that up.
So Norseman is a show over on Netflix that I'm guessing if you listeners are like the rest of us, when you saw this, if you saw the title ahead of time for this show, you probably had a very particular idea of what this show is. Now, Ashley took it upon herself to check out this show ahead of us. And brought it to the rest of our attention. Goes, guys, you need to check this out. Ashley, what is this show?
Okay, so I feel at first like I have to explain myself. When Netflix kept like just pushing this in my face, convinced I would love it, I wanted to find a flaw in their algorithm so I could thumbs down it and give it the kind of information it needs to better recommend movies to me.
Yeah.
And to my surprise, it was kind of like a Monty Python kind of mentality with like better production value about Vikings, and I really liked it.
It's a comedy.
Weird.
First off, I saw this and I just had the complete idea of Vikings itself in my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be a comedy, and I was like, well, what? Okay, I'll click on this because Ashley said, hey, check it out. And then I saw the runtime was 30 minutes. I was like, oh wait, this must be a comedy. That was my first tip off. And, you know, because the title art, it looks kind of rugged. It's cut out of wood. It's this wood Norse carving kind of thing that says Norseman. This is a dark comedy.
It's really dark.
It's pretty sick.
It's in English, but it's very much a bunch of Norwegian actors, British actors, all doing Norwegian accents, I guess. And I was quite surprised. I was pretty on board for a lot of the humor. It follows this little community, a little, I guess, Viking village.
Yeah.
That, you know, some of the guys go out on raids and they come back. And we're following the leader and his brother who wants to take over leading the village but is a big coward. and the leader's best friend, who is an expert raider, but he's also a complete idiot in all other aspects of life. And they kind of play on this dynamic in, I mean, not, I guess not like, like The Office. It's not like a mockumentary or anything, but it does seem to have this sort of cheeky humor about the silliness of their rituals and their ways and the ignorance, I guess, of their past.
The thing it sort of reminded me of in tone, and this is a weird one, but go with me, is Flight of the Conchords. It's like, it's like the characters are utterly serious about their lives.
Yeah.
But we are seeing how ridiculous it is. And that's it. I couldn't get into this. I didn't like it.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I'm thrown off by how dark it goes.
Yeah, it does go dark.
The last two episodes I actually didn't like as much. The first few episodes I liked quite a bit. I was pretty on board. The last two episodes, I also just got a little confused in the last two episodes.
Is that where the spacemen show up?
Yeah.
Well, Randy didn't finish it.
Right.
It's only six episodes, so it's a pretty quick watch, guys. But yes, let's talk about those last two episodes, because what did you have a problem with?
So I guess first, all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of gay jokes, which kind of came out of nowhere.
The homophobic jokes?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there's a thing about Vikings that you understand there was a bunch of rape and pillaging going on.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But the fact that they seem to really want to work in a way to make humor about rape is like, you guys are really going for it, but you can't quite figure out how to make it funny.
Yeah.
It got uncomfortable.
It did. The last two episodes were strange. Also, there were just some story inconsistencies I didn't understand. Someone ends up pregnant. I don't know how.
That was mentioned, and then he just kind of stares off blankly at the very end, and that was the cliffhanger, except I thought maybe he was staring off blankly because he's too dumb to go, how are you pregnant? How does pregnancy work?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they never once showed any sort of relationship between that lady and him, except for that, like, she said, oh, I'm into power.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. It was really baffling. Mainly the rape jokes. And yet they were also a little bit timid because, like, anytime they're about to, like, embrace a rape joke, they made this is fucked up to say, I'm sorry, guys, but the rapey would change their mind and be eagerly willing.
And yeah, which is a little, like, bit stranger, even.
Scapegoated it, I guess, in a way. It's like, oh, it's not rape because they're suddenly into it too, even though the entire premise was initially against their will by the other party. I don't know. The whole thing just was slimy. And I was like, is it because I'm, like, more progressive that this is rubbing me the wrong way? Or are they so progressive that they've moved past that being offensive to the fact that they can make, like, a commentary on that, and yet I'm too – I don't know. I think the children are wrong.
Yeah. Those last two episodes I didn't like as much. The first – you know, three or four, though, I really enjoyed. Like, one of the first opening scenes is that they have to they take some of the old people from the village, and old is like 45. So, Randy, you're dead.
I did notice that.
Yeah. Out to the cliffs to, like, make them jump off so they're not a burden to their family anymore. And there's
it's
that
so
exchange.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really great.
My wife did that to me last weekend. I didn't jump either.
Yeah, you're hiding. Are you camping out?
I'm camping out right now. Don't anybody tell her.
Just hide down in the studio.
Yeah, don't tell her.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like some of the slapsticky kind of jokes. Like, some of their slaves get assigned to build an amphitheater, and of course they build it to the scale of the drawing.
Yeah.
Like, there's just jokes in the first few seasons are dark, but not quite.
I like Rufus the slave, his just, like, obliviousness to the role that the rest of the town's trying to put him in. Like, no, you're a slave, you have to do what we want. And he's like, yeah, but I'm Roman, so I'm better than you. So, no, not really. And, all right, guys, cut it out.
Yeah.
I was pretty amused at this effort, especially since
it's
felt blindsided by this show.
It's so weird.
And it watches very quickly.
Yeah.
I would give this a tepid check out, guys, because, you know, rape jokes. Yeah. It's a little weird. But maybe they're going to clean some of that up later. Atypical.
Yes.
Over on Netflix.
Yep.
This is a new show. Apparently Netflix puts out a new show every 5 hours, as far as I can tell.
47 between now and December 2017.
Jeez, it's not even too much of a joke.
I know. I was kidding, and they took it as a challenge.
So Atypical follows a kid that has...
he's autistic,
he's autistic.
He's very autistic.
On the spectrum, yeah.
He's
on a spectrum.
But he's high-functioning.
Yeah. And it's talking about the struggles that his parents, Michael Rapaport and Jennifer Jason Leigh, go through raising him. And he's out to have a girlfriend and have sex. And he's going through the struggles of working through his issues to be able to get with a chick.
He also has a younger sister who is older than him in some ways because she's not on the spectrum. And so she's more mature and sort of gets along better. But she is his younger sister. And she's sort of protective of him but also kind of a dick to him.
It's funny she's younger. I thought she was older.
Yeah. Well, they make that point several times that she's younger. She's a sophomore. What I found interesting about this is that it starts off looking like it's going to be kind of like what the Mini Driver show on ABC was about the kid in the wheelchair, which I like too. But I found, and Grant, maybe you didn't get far enough into it to find it deeper than this, or maybe you just hated it from the offset and you're right to hate it. But I thought after a couple episodes where we started to see every character have their own arc that it got a lot deeper and a lot more interesting. Like Jennifer Jason Leigh at first seems to be sort of the overbearing mom. And the, you know, she's the one who's the problem for everyone and she makes everything about her kid and that kind of thing. But then we start to see her chafing against being this mom and being the control, and she has an affair and following that through and seeing and sort of, and she's, it's very much that it's bad that she's had this affair, but you understand where her head is at because she's been the mom for so long and she's been the one who's had to keep things together and she hadn't been able to be herself. And I thought that was really interesting. I thought the story of the sister who basically sort of gets overshadowed by needing to take care of her brother. And when she's confronted with this thing that she might be able to go to this fancy prep school, that she's sort of asked to not do it for her brother's sake. And there's a real choice there. And I really liked what they did with his therapist because I thought she was going to be sort of a side character, but instead we sort of get into her life a little bit and see that she's kind of a mess too. I like that they're all kind of fucked up, but they're all believably fucked up. And I thought – I really liked the girlfriend that he wound up with. I liked her a lot. I thought this was really funny and charming, and I totally bought into everybody's story.
Yeah, I agree. I really like this a lot too. All the people, as much as sometimes when they're making a decision, you're like, no.
Yeah.
They're very relatable characters.
Yeah.
You can really put yourself in the shoes of each of these people and see yourself making decisions the way that they're making them or understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And that's really great. It's not really laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
But there are some really great kind of quirky moments.
Yeah. I got a laugh out of at least every episode.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And they're never directed, obviously, at the main character, which is really good. He has some quirky friends who are not on a spectrum.
Oh, man, his buddy at work, I love every minute with that dude.
And he's just kind of his silly, kind of douchey, dumb friend.
What's
he's
funny
also,
is McLovin.
He's McLovin friend.
Except that he seems like the geek dude, and they're like, wait a minute, this guy actually does seem to know what he's talking about. Because he's always with these hot girls.
Yeah,
which
the girl
I think is hilarious. His crush on the mom, and they're like, the bring it in, give me that hug, is just unwillingness to accept that he is not in her league. It just kills me every time.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's really good. I like that quite a bit.
Also, I like the boyfriend who stole the tuba. I like that dude.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny.
I was very happy with this. And I thought – what I thought was interesting is that Sam, the girl who's his girlfriend, he really hurts her. He like devastates her. And I'm like, I don't know how you walk back from that. And they got to a point where I'm like, okay, that's kind of a sweet romantic thing. And I can sort of respect where they leave it at. Like, I'm like, I thought they were done. I thought that was it. And when they walked it back, I'm like, okay, I can sort of see where she could see her way clear to forgive that. But also it has one of the best ending lines ever, which is, I got a hand job and an igloo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can see the appeal for people. This falls a little bit in the same camp as... what's that other show that everyone's loving?
This Is Us.
This Is Us. This falls in that same camp. And Ashley, you were talking about this earlier, how it's hard to kind of straddle that line and keep from going saccharine and sappy.
Yeah.
And for me, I think this one just kind of lives in that realm. For me.
Yeah.
I don't think that... I mean, if other people are able to get something more out of it, that's great. But when I see these characters, these wholesome characters, and like they're just kind of struggling with these relatively, I don't know, mundane issues, I just didn't care. It just wasn't for me. And there seemed to be like highlighting these kind of feel good moments or these quiet struggles of these parents, and it's just not a world I am ever really that interested to invest my time in watching television. Huh. It's not like I can't see the merit or the quality of it, but it just is. It doesn't wrinkle my jingle horn or whatever I tried to, that phrase I tried last week.
But that should be the title of the show.
No, we have a great
jingle
title.
Horn?
Wrinkle my jingle horn. I think. When I saw this was coming up, we were trying to find something to watch, and I kind of was not looking forward to it. I was expecting to watch an episode and hate it.
Yeah.
And so it kind of took me by surprise how much I liked it. Like, I could definitely see this being on one of my best of the year lists.
Yeah, maybe people could, like, watch an episode of Norseman and then an episode of Atypical, and then an episode of Norseman and an episode of Atypical.
And then throw in Ballers.
Yeah, just come in, like, right in the middle. Yeah. Just have an average day after that.
I was really impressed with the lead kid.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic. Great actor. I'm not sure if he actually is.
He's not. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. Oh. And that's pretty solid. That's a question I'm interested in, is I know that there's definitely a backlash against male or female people playing trans actors. Like they feel that that's the question is, like, is it okay for someone like this to play someone with this kind of developmental disability? But at the same time, I'm not sure that if you had someone who was actually autistic, that they're going to be able to play this the same way.
But at a certain point, like, what's actor mean?
Yeah.
It's an
interesting point. And I wondered that same thing, because I didn't want to know until after, because I didn't want to have that in my head. But it did occur to me, like, you know, there is an element of you've got to be sensitive to it. I think they pull it off very well.
Like R.J. Mitty from Breaking Bad.
Exactly, yeah.
He actually does have MS, is that what it is?
I think it is, yeah.
But not to the extent that he plays it up on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's – I wasn't sure either, but I had this sense just from the way he played it that this was probably sort of a slightly exaggerated version and that the actor was acting.
Yeah.
And I think it works, but that's a tough line to hang on to, and I thought they did a good job with that too.
Yeah. I was joking a little bit when I was bitching about him and talking about penguins like so much, because A, I fucking love Antarctica.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of on board with that.
Yep.
Penguins are actually A-okay with me. It was just me trying to be bitchy about the show. It was one of the more memorable things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I give it another shot, but it just seems like, you know, there's so many other shows. It's just not something I would
mean, I don't know. Like I said, I think it does get deeper, but I also did fall in love with it pretty quickly. So
it just reminded me that, like, Netflix is exhausting me. They're putting out so many shows, and this seems like a quality show.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, you can't keep putting out these binge shows. You're taking up my life.
55 shows between now and December 2017.
It just went up. We have like a ticker in our office.
I'm going to keep adding numbers, yes.
And it just like keeps adding more shows to Netflix. We're like, shit.
I'm going to see when I get to the number you guys feel is unrealistic. Because really, at some point, I'm going to be like, 137. You're like, no, that's bullshit.
136 was fine.
Yeah, 136 was good. Special. 137, bullshit.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap everything up there. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Grant.
Yeah, thanks, Grant.
Thank you, listeners, so much. And hey, you guys feeling like throwing us a bone? go over to patreon.com/TV Dudes and make that bone a dollar and throw that dollar at us.
Wrinkle your old brain noodle at
no,
you at us.
No, that's not what I meant. Not that kind of bone, guys. Anyway, we appreciate all the support, and go check that out because we're going to talk about the future, maybe. Until next week.
You will be assimilated.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.